Thank you, Jesus. Radio. Father, whenever you're in the room, that means you've come for a purpose. You're busy. What do we think we get busyness from? We get it from you. You're so busy. You have so many children that you're seeing about. And I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy, extremely busy schedule and to stop by here and the persons on the prayer line to stop by their houses just to bring a blessing. My God, you're not Santa Claus. You're a billion times greater or more. You always bring blessings all during the year. Always bringing presents all during the year. Who wouldn't serve you, your best father? My God, not just a father who blesses his children at Christmas time, but you bless your children all year long. And how excited you are about your children who make accomplishments. Oh, God, thank you for this morning when I found out that our granddaughter Malia had made straight A's, even in algebra. Oh. And I just want to just say it just symbolized to me how much you rejoice over your children making straight A's, doing what's right, rebuking the devil, casting demons out, and doing your will. I just want to say that you are the perfect example for us. You are my hero. And we worship you and praise you, God. You never lost a battle. You've always, in fact, you take on our battles and tell us that the battle is not ours, it's yours. Oh, you've been there every step of the way. And you bring joy, peace, hope, long-suffering, meekness, kindness. Every fruit of the Spirit is in you. That's where it comes from. And so we want to graciously thank you for everything that you're going to do today, everything that you're doing right now, and what you're going to do in the future. We ask for forgiveness for anything that we've done that has offended you. We haven't meant to do so. Please forgive us. And all the things that we haven't done that you have been trying to get us to do, please forgive us. We're trying. And we'll keep on trying until we get them accomplished. Now, God, bless your people today all over the world, in every city, in every state, in every hamlet overseas, in every tent, in every house. Bless, 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 bless. Oh, God, we're depending on you. Our lives are dependent upon you. And we just bless your holy name. Ask these blessings properly in the name of the Lord Jesus. And for the glory of God, we pray. Thank God. Amen and amen and amen. Good morning to all of you on the prayer line. Are you all awake? If you are, good morning to you. Good morning to all of you.
Good morning.
Good morning to all of you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Amen. Y'all a little slow here. Let me see how y'all speak to the Lord. Good morning, Lord.
Good morning, Lord.
Good morning, Lord.
Good morning, Lord.
Good morning.
Good morning, Lord.
Bless y'all so much. Amen. Blessings like you never seen. You don't even realize all the blessings that you got. That's why we have people thanking God 1,000 times a day. Did you know your heart was 1,000 times last night? Did you know that your mind was active even while you were asleep? And did you know that not only your heart was beating, but did you know that you took over 1,000 breaths while you were asleep? You didn't even know it. How did it happen? How did you wake up this morning and you're still alive and your heart still beating and breath still in your body? The only answer I have for you is God. God did it. Everything that happened to you that was good, God did it. So you owe him some praise. That's why we give him 1,000 thank yous on the blog every night. Who would want to be jealous of that? Who would want to stop that? I don't know. I don't think anybody on the Lord's side would be trying to stop it. I don't think anybody on the Lord's side would want that to think it was silly. Because if you get in the spirit realm, you'll know how much God has done for you. God bless all of you. Let's give God some praise right now. Open your mouth. Who gave you in your mouth? Who made you able to speak? Who made you able to say thank you, Jesus?
Thank
whether you, whether you know the devil doesn't want you to say thank you, Jesus. So who made you able to say thank you, Jesus? Why don't you give God praise at least for that today? Amen. Let's praise him right now. Praise check. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you,
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you,
Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank
you,
Lord.
Thank
you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Come on. Thank you, Lord. It's been so good.
Thank you, Lord.
1-800-325-0720. Please call to get and let them know that you want a room in the first room block. The rate is $94 tax exempt. That includes your breakfast and meal. Again, that number is 1-800-325-0720. The Jewelry Inn on Metcalf Avenue in Overland Park, Kansas. Those of you that get reward points for staying with the Jewelry Inn or the Prayer Tree, your points are applicable towards this day. God bless you.
God bless you. Hope you got it. I preached a message the other day called Just One Time. Not 2 days, 3 days, 5 days, 6 days, 10 days, we tell you. And you call me and say, what's that number? just one time. All right, God bless you. And somebody, I know you was tired this morning. Why don't you press *6 and mute your line? Everybody do that because we didn't have our speaker. Press *6 and mute your line so noise won't be on the line. You can hear him, but he won't be able to hear that noise. Amen. God bless you. We're so happy that we got some power-packed speakers every day on this prayer line. Yesterday, Ambassador Stern hit that ball so far in the world over the park. They're still looking for it. Amen. We can't find it. Amen. She was such a great blessing, incredible on yesterday. And we just thank God for her. Today, we have another power-packed speaker. Oh, my God. Who has been a blessing on this prayer line many, many times. Somebody still asleep or about here, breathing into the phone. Don't do that, darlings. Our instructions say do not do those type things. Amen. Press *6. Everybody press it, and then we'll eliminate that. All right? Press it. *6. Amen. That mutual line. God bless you. It's like a Sunday morning. At your church, you would want somebody on the mic going, and the pastor trying to preach. Come on, come on, come on. That's etiquette. That's Sunday morning etiquette. And we ask you to use that on this prayer line here, if you would. And I'm not trying to be mean or anything, but, you know, that's my job, amen, to man this line. And I got to go to God and tell him, you know, make a report to him. So I don't want to tell him, Lord, whoever, because he'll know. He will know. I don't want to have to go to him and say, God, whoever that was, please fix that for us. All right. God bless you. We love you, and we thank you for being on the line. ain't nobody mad but the devil. I know the enemy doesn't like these type of things. He likes confusion. He doesn't want the word to be heard. And so if that's your attitude now, then the enemy must be in you. Amen. Because we want to hear the word of God and thank God for our special guest speaker now. Amen. You're still in the phone breathing hard, darling. Please don't do that. You right there. You just did it. Star 6, please. Put your phone on star 6. Thank you. We have a power pack speaker this morning, powerhouse, none other than Pastor James Williams. You heard him yesterday say a few words, but he's with us today. And may I ask, announce right now that we have another power pack speaker, Ambassador Gail Stitt, on tomorrow will be speaking. Amen. Get the word out for us. But Pastor Williams, we love you. We thank God for you. And God used you many times on this prayer line, even as we put the oil in the water. We want to thank God for using you for that. And thank God for everything you said to be a blessing. Others have testified of how you've impacted their lives. And again, we invite you to come and to be a blessing to the people on the prayer line. May the Lord bless you and keep you. And I know he's going to use you in a phenomenal way today. This is Pastor James Williams. Take about 30 minutes, if you would, and just give it back to us just before we close. The line is open to you.
Amen. God bless you, Chief Ambassador Johnson. God bless you. God bless you, Mother Johnson, and all of the Lord's children. I thank God for you. And I use the word children because that's what we are in the sight of the Lord. We are all his children, and we are dear to him. And I thank God for that. I thank God for all of you and where you're headed. I thank God for that. I thank God because the Lord has given Chief Ambassador Johnson vision. And in that vision, the Lord showed him a plan. And as long as he followed that plan, many, many thousands, hundreds of thousands, and even millions of people will be blessed by just following that simple plan of God, and that is just blessing the Lord, blessing the Lord. Jehoshaphat did that, and he put down his swords and his spears, and he put the singers out front, and many was blessed because the Lord set up ambushment and destroyed the enemy because they just chose to bless God instead of fighting. And when you bless God, praise him, and give God as many millions and billions of praise as you possibly can, God will receive that, and God will reward you handsomely. So I thank God for all of you, the Lord's children. Amen. And one of the greatest things we can do, and that is bless God. Hallelujah. So let me look at a passage of scripture here, and I cannot get away from Abraham. I just cannot get away from the Abrahamic blessings that God gave unto him, what God said that he would do for him. I just can't seem to pull myself away from that. And if you have heard this before, just pray with me and bear with me, because every time I read it, God always showed me something that excites me. And so I'm like, Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the revelations of your word. Today I'm looking at Hebrews chapter 11, and I'm going to begin reading at verse number 8. Verse number 8 says, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should receive, which he should after receive or an inheritance, obey, and he went out not knowing whether he went. And he went out not knowing whether he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles, heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which has foundations, whose builders and maker is God. I'm going to jump down to verse number 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country, they might have had opportunity to have returned. Oh, my God. I looked at that passage of Scripture, and it blessed me. Glory to God. And I think it all starts when Abraham is having a conversation with God. God says to Abraham, Abraham, I'm going to bless you. Leave your father's house, come out to a place that I'm going to show you of. Abraham goes out to the place. He's having a conversation with God. God says, look as far as your eyes can see. I'm going to bless you now. I'm going to bless you. And Abraham is walking up and down through the earth, and he's looking. God whispers to him and says, now, if you can count the stars in the sky, so shall you be able to count the way I'm getting ready to bless you. If you can count the sands on the seashore, hallelujah, glory to God. You'll have an idea of what I'm getting ready to do in your life, Abraham. And Abraham says to God, he says, now, how do I know you're going to bless me? How? With what? I don't even have air. I don't have a seat in the house. How do I know this thing that's going to happen? God says to him, get me a heifer of 3 years old. Get me a ram of 3 years old, and get me a she-goat of 3 years old, a turtle dove, and a pigeon, and get them. So when he got them, Abraham knew what to do. He knew what to do when he got to see these sacrifice, and he pushed them down the middle, one on one side, the other on the other side. And I know you've heard this, pushed them down the middle, the blood everywhere. Here come the enemy. When you're doing the work of the Lord, the enemy will always come. When God give you a word, and he just gave him a word, says, I'm going to bless you. Look as far as your eyes can see. I'm going to bless you. The enemy will always come. The enemy comes to steal your sacrifice. He comes to steal your anointing. But you cannot let the enemy steal your anointing from you, because God declared, this is what I'm going to do, and this is how I'm going to do it. Glory to God. Abraham, fanning the buzzards and the vultures away, buzzards and vultures representing the evil spirits that come to bring sickness, bring diseases, come to steal blessings, come to distract you, hallelujah, to come to take you out of the place of blessings. But Abraham is fanning them away because he's not going to let nothing rob him of his blessing and rob his sacrifice to God, because it belongs to God. It did not belong to him. Glory to God. Abraham fanning vultures and flies, and he falls asleep. Glory to God. And when he wakes up, hallelujah, all he sees is a burning flame, a lamp. Hallelujah, where it shows that God, showed that someone had been through it. Yes, someone had been through it, because when God was passing through it, and while Abraham was in a deep sleep, and God began to share with them something on this line, that this is how you're going to know that I'm going to be with you, because the seeds that I'm going to give you, they're going to go into bondage. They're going to go into another land. They're going to be in there for some 400 years, but no other surety that I'm going to bring them out with a strong hand. And they're going to come out with wealth. Understand this. They're going to come out with wealth. Glory to God. And when he woke up, he remembered what God had said, and that he could see the residue where God had parted through that way. And basically what God is saying, look at the pieces that are on the ground. Look at the heifer. Look at the sheep. Look at the ram. Look at the blood between them. Look at how it lay. If I don't fulfill my plan, if I don't fulfill my oath with you, if I don't fulfill this covenant, this is not a covenant, Abraham, that you can enter into, because you're not God. You may lie. You may get weary. You may take down. You may fumble the ball. But you can't do this. This is something that only I, God, can do. And if I cease and if I fail at what I said I'm going to do, let me be as one of these pieces. So it wasn't strange when God told him to butcher the people, the pieces of the animals. It was not strange. It's only strange to us when we really don't understand what God is doing. This is not useless. This is not a waste. God is saying to Abraham, if I don't fulfill my plan to you, let me be as one of these. I will cease being God, and I'll become as one of these pieces. That was an awesome thing that God did, but it don't stop. Glory to God. In process of time, Abraham have a son. His name is Isaac. Glory to God. Well, let me back up. Famine came. There was a famine in the land. And when the famine came, what did Abraham do? He went to Egypt. He didn't have to go to Egypt because Abraham was in a place of promise. God says to him, I'm going to bless you in this land. He was standing in the land of Canaan. He was standing in the land of milk and honey. He was in the land. God says, I'm going to bless you. And everything he needed was in that land. Glory to God. And when the famine came, it came to everywhere. It came not only to Canaan, but it also came to Egypt. But when the famine came, Abraham left Canaan and went into Egypt. Glory to God. We know the story that he tells the king that this is my sister and everything. But yet still, Egypt was blessed because Abraham was there. Egypt was not supposed to be the recipient of this blessing. Canaan was supposed to be the recipient of this blessing. And in process of time, he gives birth to Isaac, and Isaac is a grown man. Isaac has married now, and another famine comes along. And when the famine comes along again, it's all over the land. But Isaac, he takes his wife, and they go to Egypt. He's not supposed to go to Egypt. He's supposed to stay in Canaan because the blessing that God has is for Canaan, not for Egypt. So Isaac goes into Egypt. Now, again, he's following the pattern that his father had set. This is my sister trying to avoid being killed. But nonetheless, God was warning him, telling him, listen, hold on. Don't go into this place. Go to this place. But nonetheless, he ends up in Egypt because Abimelech, somehow or another, ends up and trying to get his wife, and that's not where I'm going, so I'm just kind of rushing through that phase. But the thing is, he missed his opportunity. Abraham missed it. He went into Egypt. Isaac missed it. He went into Egypt. Comes along, Jacob have sons. Jacob wasn't trying to go to Egypt. Jacob, I'm not going to Egypt. You have to force me to go to Egypt. Hallelujah. I'm not going to Egypt because Jacob realized that was not his place. His place was right where he were. Everything God had promised Isaac, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob was right where he were. And God blessed Jacob to produce 12 sons. One of them was a prophet. I know the Bible says he was a dreamer of dreams, and not only a dreamer of dreams, but also interpreter of dreams, but he was a prophet. Glory to God. But because his sons were not mindful of the prophet, they sold their brother into Egypt. Now, we often tell people, listen, don't tell your dreams. Don't tell your dream because they can prevent you. They cannot. Nobody can prevent you from doing what God has called you to do. You can say whatever you want. That no devil in hell can prevent you from doing what God has charged you to do. You can prevent yourself. Glory to God. And others, you know, they can't stop you from doing what God has blessed you to do. If you don't bless it if you don't do it in their presence, you can do it somewhere else. And so Joseph was not out of lane. He was not out of bounds. He was in place. When he told his brothers his dream, they got angry. The problem was not Joseph. The problem was with his brothers. They got angry. They couldn't handle it because they, number one, had already despised him because his father loved him. And they're the one that had a problem with his dream, not him. He told his dream. But see, what they failed to realize was Joseph was, hallelujah, glory to God, was their vision. Joseph was their seer. Joseph was their prophet, and they didn't realize it. And Egypt was the place of their testing. Egypt was a test to Abraham. Egypt was a place of test. Egypt was now testing his sons and getting ready to test Jacob. It was a place of testing. Egypt was never to be the beneficiary of the blessings that God had for his people. Canaan was supposed to be the place of blessing, never Egypt. But when when they sold their blessing, when they sold their seer into Egypt, God blessed Egypt because Joseph was there. They wandered in Canaan and didn't realize that they were in the place of their blessing. They didn't realize that God, everything God told them, I'm going to give you, God gave it to them. They didn't realize it. How many of us are still looking for our blessing? When God says, I'm going to bless you, he blessed you then. And you're still looking for our blessing. We're still looking for it. Where is it, Lord? Where is it? Where is it? Where is it? You're wandering in your place of blessings and not knowing, not realizing that you're in your place of blessings. You're in your habitation. All you have to do is bless God right where you are. Bless God right where you are, because everything you need in order for your blessings to come alive and to manifest itself, he has already given it to you right where you are. You don't need to move another further. You don't need to go somewhere else, because the place of your blessing, you're in it. Hallelujah. You're in it. You're in the midst of it. You're in the midst of it. When God gave the dream and the vision to Dr. Johnson, he didn't give it to him in Egypt. He didn't give it to him in Timbuktu, but he gave it to him right where he is, right where he's standing, right where he dwells, in the same state, in the same city, in the same town. And he began to see this place, and he's standing in the place of blessing. And he told him, this is what I'm going to do, and this is how I'm going to bless you. And he see it so vividly in his eyes and in his mind and in his spirit. He see one of the largest auditorium that he could see. And on the main floor, I mean, the main floor is filled with people. All of them have instruments, and all of them are serenading God on their instruments on the main floor. They're blessing God, and they're harping with their harps, and they're blowing their horns, and they're doing those glorious things to offer up a glorious praise to God. And anybody else want to enter into that place, if you do not have an instrument, then you go to the balcony, you go to the side. But on the main floor, glory to God, hallelujah. This is where the orchestra, here he stands, and here he directs a symphony of orchestra music to God, giving him, hallelujah, billions and billions and billions of praise out of the mouth of the people of God that are rejoicing, and not only that are in the auditorium, but also that are watching and viewing from afar, from their countries and wherever they are on there. It's closed-circuit television and far-circuit televisions are zooming in on what's happening, and people all over the world are blessing God. God gave this vision and this dream to him. And as God gave it to him, God have already blessed him with everything he needs. And they're coming from Atlanta. They're coming from Georgia. They're coming from Ohio. They're coming from Chicago. They're coming from all of the different corners of the earth to bless God. They're coming from the left. They're coming from the right. And they're coming with praise in their heart. Come, and they're coming. The place of blessings is right where you are. Hallelujah. You cannot sell your dream to another. You cannot forfeit your dream to another. Don't forfeit your dream to Egypt. Egypt is not to be the beneficiary of your dream. Glory to God. But the people of God is the one. Told you to do so. And every time you do the work of the Lord, you're going to have them symbolic, and all those others that will try to stop the work of God. That's why we have to keep this vision alive. And everyone who on this first fruit prayer line, who know the vision, who have heard the vision, your job is to keep the vision alive. Make it plain. Tell others about the vision. Don't stop telling people about the vision. Tell them about the vision, because it's going to happen. Energize the people. They don't have to be on this line. Energize the people. Get the world involved. That's what this thing is about. I'm sorry. God bless you. I'm sorry. God bless you.
You're on the wall. You're on the wall.
Amen.
God bless you.
That's what it's about. That's what it's about. That's the purpose of first fruit. That's the purpose. That's the purpose. Yes, we pray for people. Yes, we pray for people, and people get healed. Yes, 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 it's a prayer line. But foremost, God has given the man of God in his heart. And it's got to be made plain. Everybody on this line needs to know the vision. Write the vision. Make it plain. And you may run with it. Tell others about it. Hold the line to grow. I'm not disconnected myself from the first fruit. You just don't hear me all the time, but I'm doing the work. And the work that we're doing is in connection. That's why we're praying for 60 million men this year, 28 million men last year. And we're going to continue to pray for these millions of men because they've got to come. They've got to be a part of what God is doing. They've got to be a part of it. You say, Pastor William, why are you praying for the men only? You're leaving out all the women. I'm not leaving out the women because every man is connected to a woman somewhere. He has a mother. He has a sister. Somewhere he's connected. And you get the men right. You get the men to come to church. You don't have no problem with the women. Women are doing that now. Get them knucklehead men in there and watch what God do. Glory to God. We just need people to see the vision. I'm not against. I'm not. And I say this because you've not been hearing my voice. I'm with the vision. I see the vision. I see it unfolding. That's not the part that God gave me. God gave that part to Dr. Johnson. But he gave me another part of the vision that will enhance his vision. And that is grabbing for men, calling men together. Because we're going to get together and we're going to do this thing. Hallelujah. He's going to do the serenading. He got to direct the choir. That's what he got to do. We've got to bring the people. And each one of you, God has given you vision. And those visions are to interlock with each other. They're to interlock. They're to work together, harmoniously, together. And when you do this thing, you're going to see God doing a great work. We're not to bicker and fight. We're not even supposed to come on the line talking about bickering and fighting. That's not our purpose. We're to enhance the vision that God has given this man of God. Keep it alive. Keep it going. Make it happen. It will happen. Don't give up. Don't give in. Don't take down. You're going to always need somebody that's going to steal the people. And say, hold on. The vision will come to pass. Gird yourself up. Quiet yourself as men. Stand ye still. See the salvation of the Lord. Cannot lie. He will not lie. He's not man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Heal yourself. Get yourself up out of that bed and walk. Be a part of the vision. Rise up and be healed and receive, hallelujah, the word of the Lord. Be a part of what God said that he's going to do in Jesus' name. And let me put a plug in. Dr. Johnson don't even know this is coming. But if you want to see the work of the Lord manifest, hallelujah, people of God, we've got to get to the place that you've got to see the full spectrum of this. If you start sowing seeds into the first fruit, don't wait till Friday. Don't wait till Friday. Don't wait till Friday. Understand this now. When Jacob went into Egypt, well, not Jacob, Isaac went into Egypt, he sowed seed. And right when he sowed seed, God blessed him. He didn't sow seed into Abimelech. He sowed seed in that land, and God blessed him in that place. If you sow seeds into first fruit, watch what God do, because first fruit is about the vision that God has given this man of God. Hallelujah. And watch what happens. When you sow seeds, you're sowing seeds into that auditorium. You're sowing seeds into the place. You're sowing seeds to make sure that everything he's going to need, that when he launched the gathering of the saints, when the saints start coming together, everything he's going to need, hallelujah, for the building, the finance will be there. Hallelujah. The transportation will be there. Everything will be there. There will be no deficit. Nobody has to worry about how we're going to pay for this. You start paying for it now. People start sowing seeds now. Don't wait for somebody to tell you to sow seeds. Write your check. Sow your seeds now. And every time you sow seeds, that's the good thing about it. When you sow seeds, you're sowing into your destiny. Even though you're giving it to Dr. Johnson, the first fruit, you're really sowing into your destiny. Every corn seed that's been planted, the corn didn't just grow to itself and went to somebody else. Every corn seed you grow, it comes to the person who grows it. Amen. Sow your seeds and watch how God bless you, but also have everything in hand, everything you ever need, everything is already in place. Thing we're doing, and I hate to do this. I don't want to do this, make it look like we're trying to highlight the lifeline. The lifeline is a part of the first fruit. Lifeline is a subsidiary of first fruit. But one thing we're doing, we've already established an account where finance is coming in. It doesn't come